current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome into Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news for Friday, May 15th, 2020. Along with Pastor Mark Kirk, I'm Greg Hilt. You're listening to episode 125. If you happen to be listening to our podcast on Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google, or Apple Podcasts, we appreciate you taking the time to listen to what we have to say, and more importantly, listen to what God's Word has to say. And yeah. Pastor Mark, we were talking before the program, and I know you're going to get into this, but it's interesting that God has put so many intricacies and details in His Word, but in His time, He allows those things to be known.
Right.
Things that we've read for years.
That's right.
And one of them we're going to talk about today that we really weren't paying attention to specifically and makes a clear distinction for us because we've had some confusion regarding the mark of the beast and the beast itself.
Right.
And the Antichrist and all of that. So we will get into all of those things today by starting with some great listener questions.
You've got mail.
Pastor Mark, we've got two questions today, both from James. He reached out to us on our Facebook page at Prophecy Help. If you want to join us over there at Facebook, you can send us your question there or you can tweet us there as well. So let's start with question number one, because these are two big ones here.
Yes.
All right. So he says, good afternoon, brothers. I have two questions. One pertains to the mark of the beast and the other about a verse. So here's question number one. With the mark, I've heard many people speak about the Bill Gates patent, which, of course, we've talked about. I also see this new House resolution bill people are talking about that has to do with surveillance being 666. My question is, would it really be that simple? To my understanding, one with wisdom would have to calculate or work out the number, as the Greek word for count is. And how do you pronounce that word, Pastor Mark?
Probably sophizo.
Sophizo?
Yeah.
Okay. Which means to calculate, like it won't be in plain sight. It takes godly wisdom as well as a little extra effort to calculate it. And he references the article, which we will also link the article on our website. So if you go to thesigns.org and go to today's podcast, you'll be able to get the link as well. So, Pastor Mark, let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, you know, and oddly enough, Greg, we might want to start with the second question.
Do you want to start with the second question?
I think it can quickly be answered. We can devote the rest of the day to number one. So let's go ahead and read the second.
Wow.
It's good to read them both. We laid it out there. Let's do the second one.
All right, here's the second question. It's a lot longer. That's why I figured we would
I think it can answer it quicker, though.
Okay,
yeah,
that's fine.
Let's do that.
Okay, all right. My second question is about the verse. And if, for those of you that have a Bible, you can grab it right now. 1 Corinthians 2:9. And he says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I see this all the time preached at funerals and behind the pulpit when speaking of heaven. However, to my understanding, and he says I can be wrong, I have before, this isn't talking about heaven at all. All I ever hear is the part I quoted. However, verse 9 also says at the beginning, this is what the scriptures mean when they say. So that shows me that what the rest of that verse speaks about is in the preceding verses. So here is verses 7 and 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it, If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. James goes on, seems to me it is speaking of Jesus and not heaven, since Jesus was a mystery in the Lord until he served the Lord in sacrifice and resurrection. Also, Paul saw heaven with his eyes when he was taken to what he describes as the third heaven. He also heard things because he said he heard things so astounding. We also know John had seen the new heaven and the new earth, though this is used every time I've heard of it to speak of heaven. So he says, am I right for saying it is in context speaking about Jesus, or maybe I'm missing something?
Well, I would say this, you know, first of all, I think you're onto something here, and that is the bottom line is this is talking about the current right now, that verse. You know, when it talks about eyes not seen, I don't know necessarily about speaking of Jesus in the sense of no him being the eyes not seen, ears not heard. So I want to make sure I understand the question right. But as far as this being speaking of futuristically, like at funerals, this is speaking of right now. God is saying, and you're onto it there, James, God is saying, eyes not seen and ears not heard, but God is prepared for those who love him. He's talking about right now in this world. And because he reveals to us right now those things. If you look at verse 10, he says, but God has revealed them to us. Well, we don't have everything about heaven revealed. So we don't know what heaven is going to be like. We know certain things about it, but we don't know really what it's going to be like. But he says in context of this verse that no eye has seen or ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us. So what he's saying is God is, yes, it is the reward of Jesus. It is the hope of Jesus. It is really the blessing of this world that he's given us right now. So I don't know that I fully understand what he means by, is this Jesus or not?
Well, what he's saying is that he's heard the scripture verse preached at funerals. And the inference there is that this scripture verse has to do with heaven. And James is saying this has got nothing to do with heaven.
And I'm not being clear. I agree with you.
Yes. Okay, perfect.
I agree. I do not think this has to do with now the argument can be made. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard what we're going to experience when we get in the kingdom.
This is true.
But I'm 100% with you, James. In context, this is speaking of what God will do in our lives right here, right now.
Okay.
Yeah. See, that was easy to answer.
That was easy to answer. Yep. Okay. All right. So
great question. These are great questions.
Yep. Now back to that first question again.
Let's do it.
Do you want me to reset this again here?
We should. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's okay. This is too important.
Let's reset it.
Okay. Well, let's reset it. With the mark, I've heard many people speak about the Bill Gates patent. I also see this new House resolution bill people are talking about that has to do with surveillance being 666. My question is, would it really be that simple? To my understanding, and of course, what God infers to us in his, tells us in his word, one with wisdom would be able to calculate or work out the number as the Greek word for count. Sophizo, right, is what you said it was.
Yes.
Which means
Sophizo, yes.
Yeah, Sophizo, which means to calculate. Like it won't be in plain sight.
Right.
It takes godly wisdom, and the Bible makes that clear when it comes to prophecy, as well as a little extra effort to calculate it. So,
yeah. Let's talk about it.
And then he references the link. So did you go to the link and read that article about this House bill?
Yes, I've seen that House bill.
Perfect.
Yeah. And
okay.
And let me just make a quick comment about the House bill before we move on. I think maybe they're making a, you know, that's not as big of a deal. I think that's more, you could almost say coincidental. However, I do think God gives us hints. I'll say that. It is interesting that the House bill is number 6666, but four sixes. It's not three sixes, but we know that six is the number of man. Again, you can go too far with this. So on that one, I'd kind of say, you know, be careful that you don't go too far with it. I find it intriguing. And I think for the believer, it catches our attention. And maybe God's going to give us hints like that to catch our attention. But technically, that is not a 666 thing. That's four sixes. And the Lord very specifically talked about it being three.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't go too far with that. However, I will say this, and we want to have this discussion. You made the comment here, James, about it wouldn't be that easy to calculate like with the Bill Gates thing. My whole argument is it's not easy to see and it's not easy to calculate, but it's also not the mark of the beast. It's the highway or the mechanism to get us there. Now, let's clarify this. Let's talk about it for a moment. I want to clear up from last week, and hopefully all of our same listeners are listening this week.
Especially about Bill Gates himself.
Look at the podcast. Number one. We didn't say he was, but I want to clarify. Bill Gates is not the Antichrist. He is not the Antichrist.
He biblically does not qualify.
No, the Bible very clearly tells us the Antichrist will be a man out of Europe, ancient Rome, somewhere in the Roman ancient empire is going to come out of Europe, and he's going to take the world over, and he will institute the mark of the beast. And even more than that, and this may be a good chance to really kind of, lay out what the mark of the beast is and kind of give a reminder to our listeners. You know, in Revelation 13, verse 18, it says this. Here's wisdom. Let him who has understanding, and that's what James was talking about, not something easy. You're going to have some understanding, some insight. And by the way, the majority of the world, James, I know you know this, the majority of the world does not have understanding. The majority of the world cannot calculate this because they don't even believe it. But let me go on. He says here, he was understanding, calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. It's the number of a man, not the, note that. And again, we know the number of man is six, but this is the number of a specific man, which has three sixes. His number is 666. So we identified in the verses before that, that the Antichrist is who he's talking about. It will be the Antichrist number and be the number of his name.
So basically, this whole issue with the global patent being 666, could that be a red herring then? Because that, well, we're talking about two distinct things. 666 has to do with the beast, not with the mark.
But let me get back to that. I do believe, I personally believe that it's very possibly a hint for those with eyes to see from God, but I don't think this is not the mark. Let's work our way back around it. So the mark is going to be, again, Haman in Scripture is a type of the Antichrist. And in Hebrew, all the numbers have numeric values.
Yes.
They actually have numeric values given to numbers in Greek as well. But in Hebrew, there in the Old Testament, where Haman is spoken of, Haman's name comes out to 666. That's what it comes out to, the numerical value. And he is seen in the book of Esther as a type of the Antichrist because he tries to wipe out all the Jews and destroy them, even as the Antichrist will do, even as Hitler tried to do. And so there's the numeric value. But now every person who has the numeric value 666 doesn't mean they're the Antichrist. It just depends on the lettering of your name. So it is a hint, but it doesn't mean just because that's your name that that's you. But let me make this point. God is saying the Antichrist, I believe his name will be made up of the numeric 666. Now, I don't know what Bill Gates is. I hadn't looked into that. But even if it was some
he still
wild
doesn't
way,
qualify.
No, he didn't qualify. And I doubt it is, but he didn't qualify. We'll get back to that in a moment. But what? So this patent that the Microsoft organization got, it is not the mark of the beast. I want to repeat, it is not the mark of the beast. I hope I didn't give that implication last week. What I believe it is very possibly the technology leading to the mark of the beast that will be done later, probably by the Antichrist himself or someone else in his organization, that will have that number, and it will be the number of his name, which is even more interesting, Greg, because we talked about before the show started, if you take the mark of the beast and that is the number of his name, you're taking his name on you. What do we do as Christians? We take the name of Christ on us. He will be making the world take his name on them in a mockery and an imitation of Jesus, who put his name on us. So it will be connected to his name, the actual mark will be. It'll be connected to some type of digital electronic thing, if you will, probably a microchip that's going to be implanted. And that'll be something he does. But now let me get back. So we know that Bill Gates is not the Antichrist. We know that this technology is not the mark of the beast.
It's just the infrastructure to support it.
I believe it's very possibly the mechanism.
Yeah, the infrastructure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yes, mechanism. Yeah. Infrastructure. I'm sorry. Infrastructure. I wrote the word mechanism. I keep repeating it. Same thing.
Whatever. I've heard
it
both ways.
The pathway to get there. Now, why do I say that? Here's why. This is what's so key about this. Because anybody can say, well, yeah, but it's just a patent for cryptocurrency body activity. That's really what it is. It's a cryptocurrency, and we've already got Bitcoin and these others. This is what makes me think all the more. This is the avenue, Greg.
Yeah, the avenue.
The infrastructure to the coming mark of the beast. And why? Okay, let's talk about this. You have, if you will, this whole pathway to it with cryptocurrency. It's tied to money. It's not just a mark you're taking. Like a chip you'd put in your dog so you can track your dog. This is something way different. This is something that no one else can do because it's now been patented, but we know the Antichrist is going to do. That's why this intrigues me. Anybody can get a patent for a cryptocurrency. Anybody can get a patent for a body activity sensor. But what you have here is a body activity sensor directly tied to, in the same patent, cryptocurrency. Now, why is that so intriguing to me? Because when we take the mark, we won't take the mark. When the mark is given, it says that if you, the only way you can buy or sell will be to take this digital identifier mark. So what you've got is somebody has to come up with a patent. So they give you something where you can buy and sell with it, but they can also track you, like we're talking about with viruses and digital marking and all this. What Microsoft has done here, Greg, is they put it all in a package and patented it so nobody else could get it. It would be like if somebody patented Signs of the Times and said, you can never use that name again because we're using it for something that has to do with the Signs of the Times of cars of our day. But we said, okay, we're going to avoid that. We're going to call it we're going to get a patent for Signs of the Times specifically related to a prophecy program. Now, we're locked in. Nobody else can do that. They can get a Signs of the Times patent. They can get a prophecy patent. But they can't get a Signs of the Times with a prophecy patent. Here's why, again, it's intriguing to me. What Microsoft has done unknowingly, I think, they have created a mechanism where a sensor can now be read, whether in the body or out. And in Britain, they're doing it on a card.
Right now, or cell phones, too. Yeah.
Exactly. Which they're talking about doing it by cell phone here. In Britain, they do it by a card.
That's first step.
But it's not just the sensor or that marker. It is how you buy and sell. Now, that for a prophecy student should make your ears stand up. Because what it says about the mark of the beast is he's going to make everyone, great and small, take a mark with which they can neither buy nor sell. So it's not just a tracking mark. It's not just a digital identifier. It is connected to your financial transactions.
It'll control you.
Yes. Now what happens is if somebody else comes along wanting to do, let's say the Antichrist comes along and we know he's going to want to track us. He's going to make us do things financially through this sensor. And he's also going to track us through this sensor. And he's also going to make us take his name through this sensor. That patent is now taken. In other words, there may be some way around it that I don't know of. But what I'm seeing here is Microsoft has secured the legal rights, and it's an international patent, not just in America.
Right.
They have secured an international patent that now is nobody else can come up with the idea of a sensor that can be picked up by a device that you can track someone and at the same time buy and sell with. Now, this is specific details of what the Antichrist is going to do. If it was just a sensor to buy and sell, okay, that couldn't be the Antichrist. If it was just a sensor to track, nope, that couldn't be the Antichrist sensor. The Antichrist sensor of mankind, his mark, his ability to identify us, must have those elements. It must be able to track us, and it must also be able to limit our buying and selling, our financial transactions. So you see why this really has my attention.
Yeah.
It's not just a normal thing. Now, you might say, okay, getting back to this question, well, isn't this so easy that everyone could see it? No, I believe it's hidden for this reason. Number one, many people, I think, are going to mock it. Number two, it's not directly 666. It's 060606. And it's not something that's just out there going, hey, there's this new thing Microsoft is doing that has 060606. You've got to look it up and go look up the patent number to even know this. So this is not some general knowledge. You know, people like James and like us, to us it's general knowledge because we're keeping up with things. But to the world and the average Christian, listen, you tell them this, they're going to go, nanu, nanu, where's your aluminum hat and the flying saucers? Look, we try to be very guarded from aluminum hats and flying saucers here at Signs of the Times. We don't want to get caught up in conspiracy theories and just stuff that's way out there on the edge.
Yep.
But to me, because this is a sensor that detects body activity, that is connected to tracking people, that is connected to your buying and selling, and it has now patented it so nobody else can get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that you could even go for a mark now that you could put in someone that would track your buying and selling because Microsoft has it. You couldn't patent it. Now, they may come up after 7 years. I think after 7 years, you can do you can redo it and be a competition. So I don't know if 7 years says anything interesting here. That's our ears go up because of prophecy, but that's just the world's rules.
Yeah.
So my point is, when he says to calculate it, I think this is something that if you didn't know what you're looking for, if you didn't look for that, already I looked up Greg on Snopes. It's interesting. Let's get back to this.
Now, you know, Snopes was started by George Soros.
I know, anyway, and listen, we've also found Snopes to be wrong. I found something Snopes put out that was false. however, Snopes again tried to go out and deny this, but they couldn't.
Okay.
But it's interesting what they said. Listen, if you go look it up, you'll find out what they said was. Some are saying that the Microsoft thing, whatever, is the chip and the mark of the beast, whatever. And it says this has nothing to do with a microchip. This has to do with a sensor and body activity, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Nobody's saying this is a microchip right now. They're making a null and void argument. They said, yes, it does have 060606. We agree.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't have anything to do with a microchip. It doesn't have anything to do with a microchip. And I agree. Here's my point. I believe that God may be revealing to the church the avenue, the mechanism, the infrastructure of the highway for this patent, so that the Microsoft or so that this chip, when it does come in, when the mark is created, when that world out of Europe, the guy out of Europe shows
what
up,
it was prophetically
all
meant
he has to do is he can fulfill it through that patent. And it's interesting to me that patent does everything the Antichrist needs to do, and now it's locked into that patent. And that it falls with 060606. And again, we talked about how odd that is. Again, I know it's not in Hebrew, and I know it's just a number, whatever. But in the Hebrew, if Jews are reading this to get saved after the rapture, and they read the article about it, they're not going to know right off the bat. But if they go and try to use understanding, as it says in in Revelation 18, and they try to calculate the number, they're going to have to do some homework. Yeah. That patent number is not going to show up, and who's going to go look for a patent number? Here's all I'm saying. I can't say emphatically this is the mechanism for the mark. I can't say that. And if I gave that impression last week, I apologize to our listeners. That was not what I intended. But I believe this very possibly could be that God's revealing the mechanism for it. Because, Greg, everything that's needed in there when the Antichrist does come along to put his name on us, his mark, his 666, that's what the technology is there ready to go.
Okay, so let's make some distinctions here. Obviously, we've said, and we'll just say it again just for the sake of argument, because some of the confusion was purported that Pastor Mark was saying that Bill Gates is the Antichrist. No, he's not.
Right.
But you've also made an interesting distinction today in God's Word that I think we need to really hit home again.
Yes.
When it comes to the mark of the beast,
yes,
and the beast himself,
yes,
the number that the Bible tells us will be the identifier, will be the number of a man.
That's right.
Is not necessarily has to do with the mark itself. Maybe it does.
Right.
Maybe it doesn't.
Right.
I'm thinking in of course, my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, everything that we have, our computers, like if you go inside the guts of your computer, the computer itself has what's called a Mac ID. That's a machine, whatever, identifiable. It's a physical number to identify your physical machine.
Right.
And then there's IP addresses and all that. Everything's got a number. Everything has a number.
Yeah.
Whatever this mark is going to be, you know, ultimately, especially the mark that will be mandated that you take or you die, mark.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's going to have a numerical value too. Right?
Right.
Okay. And then the beast will have a numerical value, kind of like you said. Haman is a foreshadowing of
the Antichrist. He's a type of the Antichrist. His name numerically comes out to 666.
So I'm just wondering if it's a combination of more than one thing to identify him. It's not just his name, but maybe the numerical identifier in the chip that he himself has.
Well,
at least I would think he would have it. I'm just guessing. It doesn't say he's going to take one.
Yeah.
He says he's going to force everyone else.
Right.
I just think, and again, to James's point, it's not going to be that simple.
Right.
We've seen, as we've discussed on this show, things get revealed to us as we go along. We're going, oh, wow, I didn't think about that.
Right.
I didn't think about that. All we know is what God's word says. How God's word is going to get fulfilled by or how is what we discuss on this program.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think this is more, I would almost call this Microsoft thing a hint, if anything. If this is anything toward the mark of the beast, it could possibly be God giving us a hint that this is the mechanism to be used. But the Antichrist himself, I believe his name, and this is the thing, James, this will not be easy to calculate unless you know what you're looking for. Think about it. The rapture of the church has taken place. Christians are gone. You're not going to have prophecy shows going, hey, this guy in Europe, he's going to give a mark. Now go, everybody go figure out, everybody go look at the numeric value of his name. Nobody's going to be saying anything about the numeric value of this guy's name in Europe. It's going to be very hidden, except the Jews. And the Jews are going to, they're going to look at his name and they'll read a number. His name will be a number to them. because every letter has a numeric value. So when they read the Antichrist name, they'll be reading 666. That'll be the number of his name. So when they read that and they say he's going to give a mark, then they're going to go look at this mark. And if they have any further investigation and see that the patent of it ended up being, again, in Hebrew,
yes,
666, because there are no zeros in Hebrew, and they'll be reading a Hebrew Bible. I'm saying, I think God is making it, pardon the pun, patently obvious to the Jewish people yes. that are left after the rapture that this is our guy. So it's yeah. not so much pointing to this patent as it is when that guy shows up, I think this is going to help identify him. But he's not identified yet, and this is not his mark. Now, here's what's interesting about this cryptocurrency mark that they have patented. At this point, they're saying your sensor will be outside of your body. It'd be like a fob. If you have a key fob, imagine that being your sensor. And then your phone picks up your sensor and gives you all the information from your sensor. And on that sensor will be all your info. But the problem they're having is, and then that gets sent to, again, the computers.
The cloud, whatever.
The cloud, yeah. It goes to anybody, whatever. Now, here's the problem they're having. And I went and watched some of the Microsoft conference I told you about that just happened.
Mm-hmm.
One of their main discussion problems was, what do you do if someone loses their sensor? Seriously, they were saying, okay, let's say Mark and Greg, they're doing the radio show, and a tornado comes through, and they dive into whatever, and it destroys our studio and all of our belongings, and we can't, and our billfold, everything's gone, and now the authorities come, and they need to know who we are and what we need and what needs to be, and you think about it more in countries where, you know, things are destroyed and they don't have a lot of infrastructure like we do in America, but you get the point. We couldn't prove who we are at that moment. We couldn't show them. They wouldn't know what to do, especially you're unconscious. They wouldn't know whether or not you were allergic to certain things or needed certain medications. They're rushing you to the hospital. They're saying, how do we handle that? And nobody came out and said it, but they're all going, Well, come on. Let's think a minute, gang. If you put it inside the person,
you don't lose it.
There's your sensor. My point is, this is the avenue to take a chip, put it in a human,
yeah.
and connect it to not only their body activity, which is the patent is for body activity,
yes.
but Greg, also all their information and their money, where you can't or can buy and sell if you have this sensor.
Yeah.
Now, the Antichrist comes along. He himself is the mark of the beast, so to speak. It's the number of his name. It's his name that's the mark. But now he takes that patented technology. He uses the sensor technology. The sensor becomes the microchip. It's not a microchip, but it becomes that. And it's implanted in people. And now you have it. Now, could there be a derivative of it? Could there be another one that comes along? All that's possible. I want to say that. We can't say for sure that this is the patent and this is it. But here's the thing that really drove it more to my heart. Maybe this will help you, James, in your thinking and all of our listening. Note this. Let's think about this for just a second from a statistics mindset. Okay? You know, Jesus, they said, fulfilled some 300 and something prophecies in his life. And again, we were talking about this before the show came on. I'm going to run out of time on it. And for eight of those, just eight prophecies, you'd have to fill Texas up with 2 feet of silver dollars. Put an X on one of them, drop it somewhere, blindfold someone, drop them somewhere in Texas, and in first try, they'd get it. And with each new 9, 10, 11, 12, the statistics go out the roof. They just explode, okay? Do you realize in 184 years of patents, okay?
Yes.
It just so happens that a sensor patent linked to a sensor and a reader of a sensor and financial transactions of humans for the first time was given with the number 666. What are the statistical odds of Microsoft getting in the line, getting that particular number in 184 years worth of patents, and it turns over to them with the technology that's needed to be able to do what the Antichrist is going to do with this microchip or whatever he's going to use at some point? I think when you put all this together, Greg, it builds a strong, educated guess case that God may be giving us a clue. At least, this is the technology leading to what the Antichrist may use for the chip. But he himself will be the mark. He himself will be the number. He will try to take us or get us to take his name.
Mm-hmm. More to discuss. This is just the beginning. As Signs of the Times continues, lots of articles to get to as well as we continue. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Yeah. WIAMLP.
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
Let's say you're cooking a nice meal when suddenly billowing smoke from the oven begins to fill your kitchen, your lungs, and your eyes. Do you open a window so you can see to finish your meal preparations? Or do you open the oven and put out the fire? I'm Chuck Bentley with my Money Life from Crown. Crown's founder, the late Larry Burkett, reminds us today that we'll never solve our financial problems if we just treat the symptoms.
If somebody comes to me and they say, listen, I'm deeply in debt, I can't pay my bills, every month I have less money coming in than I do going out, and my pastor sent me here, would you mind telling my church they need to help me? And they do that often, by the way. I tell every one of them, no, I won't, because all you're trying to do is treat the symptom. And if they do nothing more, if you're overspending $100 a month, and I could convince your church to give you $100 a month, you will be back again in 6 months, and then you'll need another $100 a month. Because whatever got you there is going to get you back. And if you just sell your home and use that to pay yourself out of debt, you just treated the symptom. You didn't treat the problem. Or if you go bankruptcy and eliminate all your indebtedness, I'll guarantee you over 90% of those people will be back in less than 2 years at almost the same level they were when they filed for bankruptcy. You know why? They treated a symptom. The symptom is the debt. The problem is what got them there. And almost always with God's people, it's a direct violation of God's word in the area of money. But whatever you can, if it's a believer, a true believer, and you can bury in their heart the word of God and what it says about money in your local church, nobody will ever talk about it again.
If you want to grow in biblical stewardship, access Crown's online studies and tools. Our courses are convenient and in many cases, life-changing. Find out more at crown.org. That's crown.org.
A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor.
If things are okay, and they're going the way that you desire them, and the way that you want them, and you seem to have this life of smooth sailing, then man, hallelujah, praise the Lord. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. You know, that's, hey man, if things are happening the way I want them, then those phrases and those thoughts and those feelings seem to be much easier to express. But when things don't go our way, when things are bad, then so quickly we begin to think that God is mean, that he's forgotten us, that he's vindictive, that he doesn't love us, that he could care less about his creation. And it's not true. The only thing that's changed are the circumstances.
You can learn more at edtaylor.org. Grow deeper in your love relationship with Jesus by visiting edtaylor.org. This has been A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Signs of the Times. Along with Pastor Mark Kirk, I'm Greg Hill. Thanks for staying with us as we continue on our prophecy discussions. If you just joined us and missed the first half, we encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast. You can find out all the ways to do that at thesigns.org.
No mask required to listen to the show. I want people to know that.
Yeah, there is no mask.
You don't have to wear a mask for the show. There's no social distancing. You're close to the radio as you want.
As you possibly can
close
get.
To your computer as you want, and no mask required.
That's it.
And you know, we do that. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of being arrested for that. We're bold in that.
Like I said, if you missed the first half, we do encourage you to get it again because it was a fantastic questions from James regarding the mark of the beast and the number of his name and the actual physical implantation that will be taken. But here's the big takeaway to take away from all of that discussion over the last 2 weeks of this whole thing. Whether the technology that was patented ends up being the infrastructure to support a physical mark on a body, all those things. Okay, probably, yes. But here's the big takeaway. For the first time in prophetic history, even though we've been talking about this on the program, and the Bible's been talking about it for longer than we've been around, this is the first time the world has come together and talked about putting something in our bodies. And in this case, for the sake of tracking people to make sure the coronavirus doesn't spread, that's just a red herring right there. But it's what they're talking about doing to everyone on the planet. that is has the biggest prophetic significance right now.
Absolutely.
And how the other stuff plays out, well, we'll just have to see, and you'll have to keep tuning in.
That's right.
To Signs
That's
of the Times.
Right. That's right.
All right, let's go to Israel. Pastor Mark, as our theme of tracking continues. This is from jpost.com. Benjamin Netanyahu suggests microchipping kids and then is slammed by experts.
Isn't that amazing? Right after we talked about this, you think we're making this up. This is happening around the globe,
around the
guys.
Globe.
Absolutely. You know, this article here says, notice this, it says cyber experts slammed Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for his proposal to microchip children who return to schools and kindergartens as the coronavirus lockdown is lifted, Ynet News reported on Friday. While speaking at a press conference on Monday, Netanyahu suggested the health ministry use new technology to help Israel adjust to its new routine as the state is lifting the coronavirus lockdown. And I quote, that is technology that has not been used before and is allowed under the legislation that we will enact, he clarified. I spoke with our heads of technology in order to find measures of Israel it is good at, such as sensors. For instance, every person, every kid, I want it on kids first. Isn't that interesting? Would have a sensor that would sound an alarm when you get too close, like the one on cars. It will be hard to do more than 1 million school children who return to their educational institutions in order to ensure one student sits at a distance of 2 meters from another. It's fictitious and dangerous, cyber resilience expert Enot Marone told Ynet. He said, theoretically, I get behind it. She said, rather, it's a female. But although such distance-sensitive microchips exist in vehicles, it's different in humans. According to Marone, a beeping sound telling me I'm too close to someone is not enough. Who says
that would be interesting.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you're backing up. You know, you're starting backing up. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, I'm sorry. I know you're back there. You know, what I would need now is little backup cameras on their hats.
Yes.
And a little camera. They can see who's behind them, whatever. Now, here's the thing. Again, obviously, our antennas go up. They're talking about microchipping children for whatever the reason. I want to say a couple of things. We spent a long time on that in the first half. We know it's going to happen at some point. But is this the mark of the beast? No, that's going to be one. Even if they do it, that's not the mark of the beast. It's going to be done by a man out of Europe. He himself is the mark of the beast. His name is the mark. He's going to use technology for that mark to put it in people. And I believe it will lead to that. And as we said, very possibly some of the patented technology we talked about in the first half. However, it is interesting because it further shows, Greg, here's what's happening. Not only is the world talking about it, the world's getting ready for it. And some have already, major leaders, accepting it. And here's Netanyahu, the president, the prime minister of Israel, going, yeah, okay, let's do that. You can't tell me that he's never heard Christians talking about the Antichrist and microchipping. Now, I know they don't believe the Bible, the New Testament. I know they don't read Revelation. I get all that. But how can you not know of this warning? I think people are going to say, this shows me what they're going to say about microchipping. Who cares what the Bible says and what these crazy Christians are saying? This is good technology. Let's use it. And so the world is really getting ready and opening up to this technology. We're watching it happen.
Let's talk about something that we were discussing before the show, and that is in the one world unity scenario, you've got a one world government, a one world economy, and a one world religion.
Yes, what the Pope did.
With the Pope. So what's important is that when the Bible says that when the Antichrist tells everyone that you've got to take this mark,
right,
or you're going to die, we're going to put you to death.
Right.
Well, the Bible says that if you take the mark, God is going to eternally put you to death.
That's right.
And you're going to be separated from God for all of eternity.
Yep.
So there's clearly a religious aspect that's part of the whole one world unity.
Absolutely.
That
very
hasn't
spiritual.
Come in the spiritual component of taking this mark, of what the mark represents in terms of its allegiance to a man that we've been talking about from statistics and numbers, but from a religious standpoint, that man is going to stand up and declare himself to be God.
Right.
And at that point, he's going to mandate that you take the mark.
Yeah.
From a religious standpoint, to me, that infers allegiance to him.
That's
and
right.
So I'm denying God at that point.
You've got to take his name.
Exactly.
That's why you're denying God. Instead of God's name, you're taking his name.
His name. So with all of that in mind, in relation to this article, let me ask you this question.
Okay.
If for some reason they were able to force these to microchip these kids.
Yeah.
That isn't condemning these children to eternal separation.
No, that is not at all. Not my understanding of Scripture. That is not condemning them, and that's the whole point. This is something that you willfully take, And that you, again, there's even an age of accountability, Greg, we see in Scripture with kids. I think even if there's parents during the Great Tribulation that make their kids take it, I think that even those kids that are too young to know what they're doing, I don't think that automatically condemns them. Now, I don't want to go against God's word. I want to be careful. He says that everyone that takes the mark, but I'm looking at the word of God as a whole. It says for those who don't understand what they're doing, they're not held accountable. So I think there probably will be some leeway there. And this, by the way, is not that, because you're not taking his name. You're not taking this worldwide mark where you can buy or sell through cryptocurrency
or
whatever
method. It's all of those things happening at one time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, yeah, I think it's a total separation there. Even now, you know, they microchip, you know, dogs. Your dog is safe.
Yeah.
Your dog is safe. He's not going to be taking the mark of the beast. Oh, he is a beast. He'll be the mark of the beast.
Well, I know you don't think cats go to heaven, but my cats are microchipped and they're going to go. So
yeah,
anyway.
But see, no, that means they won't go. You've eternally condemned your cats because you microchipped them.
But I know I did not. The animal shelter.
I see. The
animal
game
shelter
we're playing
did it
here.
Anyway. All right, let's look at some growing anti-Semitism, because that's been going on long before we've been talking about the mark.
Yes.
This is from ABC News, dated May 11th, and this is the kind of stuff that gets buried because everyone's so focused on the virus.
Yeah.
A couple is arrested for a hate crime in Brooklyn, allegedly blaming the spread of COVID-19 on, guess who?
Yeah,
the Jews.
Yeah, everything's the Jews' fault. I left this in here, Greg.
Yeah.
A small part of the article I'll read, only to remind everyone at Signs of the Times, you're going to see an increased tension and hatred toward the Jews. This is just another good way to do it, because the Bible says they'll be hated more and more in the last days. The suspects allegedly tried to rip the face coverings off the three men, which is funny. Why would you rip the face coverings off if you think they're spreading it? A couple was spread it. You're spreading it. You're the troubler of New York. Anyway,
yes.
A couple was arrested after they allegedly shouted anti-Semitic slurs at three Hasidic men in Williamsburg. The Hasidic Jews are the ones that wear all the black and the hats and the ringlets,
and their ringlets
for our listeners, in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and tried to rip off their face coverings while blaming them for the spread of the virus. He and his wife allegedly got out of their car, accosted the men, shouting out slurs, attempted to take away their face coverings, and said, "You're the reason we're getting sick," one of the suspects allegedly said. To me, think about the logic of that. You just took away the thing that keeps you from getting sick if they have it, and now you're saying that they're the ones getting you sick. Anyway, the point is, we're going to see more and more of this hatred toward the Jewish people, because everything is blamed on the Jews, and you wonder why. Here's why. Spiritual. Remember, Satan hates them. We covered that in detail last week. Well, actually, we covered that in detail Wednesday night. We talked about it. But this is a spiritual battle against the Jews. Satan hates them because God's given them promises, and he's got a 7-year promise still waiting for them very soon. And so they're going to be hated more and more as we enter into the last days. And God will be their hero, and he will rescue them during that time. Get out of here. Get out of here. What? I hate this.
I didn't have an appropriate sound effect, but this is from Fox News. Asia's murder hornet lands in the U.S. for the first time. That was a mosquito sound effect. I couldn't find a hornet one.
Hornets
make a sound? I don't know.
They do. That was pretty good. That wasn't bad. Yeah, the Asia murder hornet. Now, the name, of course, gets your attention here. I want to say this falls under the category, again, of pestilence and all these things in the last days. Beekeepers are fretting about a deadly threat from Asia.
And that is serious.
It is. Deadly hornets from Asia measure up to 2 inches long, have been found for the first time in the U.S. Researchers are worried that the insects are colonizing. The murder hornets, as the aggressive insects are known, can wipe out bee colonies. Now, that's the real concern. I'll explain that in a moment.
Yeah.
Within hours, they have stingers long and powerful enough to puncture beekeeping suits, which is really a bummer. And in Japan, they've killed up to 50 people a year. Now, here's the thing. They're not called murder hornets because they murder people. I wonder, there's probably 50 people a year killed by wasps in America, maybe more than that. I don't know.
Then we should quarantine.
Yeah, there you go. If you have a bee allergy, then you could die from a yellow jacket, a wasp, a honeybee, anything. But this only makes it worse. These things are really strong. So it's not so much that they're going to kill people. That's not the concern. Although the sting is way worse and horrendous, and they look wicked. I've seen them. These are like you need more than a regular fly swatter. This is not your grandmother's fly swatter. It's not going to stop this guy. You need those big rubber ones they sell now at Lowe's and Home Depot and all. Anyway, but
okay.
The bottom line is, here's what the real danger of this is. And this is what I talk about pestilence, and really it almost comes into famine. I put this in famine slash pestilence category. Yeah, because really what this does is, as you know, bees travel back and forth between plants and things you're growing in gardens, and they pollinate. It's the pollination that causes many of our different fruits and things to grow and whatever. So if you kill out the bee population, you have less food, and with less food leads to more famine. These guys are wiping out the good bees that are pollinating, which means it damages our food supply to some degree. That's the big concern. The fact that they're huge and a certain number of people die, that's not a good thing either. But that happens with a normal wasp or a yellow jacket. They're not murder. If you get stung by one, doesn't mean you're going to die. Chances are you won't. It's just going to hurt really bad, and you're going to be bummed out for a while. But when it comes to our bee population, not good. It's more than just honey. We're talking about fruits. A lot of fruits get pollinated by this cross-pollination, they call it, and you're going to have a food supply affected. And you know, you look at what's going on with the COVID and the meats and now something coming into affect our fruit supply. You don't see it right now, but over time, it starts paying dividends, and it can create, again, worldwide famine and things like this.
Well, and Jesus told us in Matthew 24 those things would be happening in the end days. I guess we weren't thinking that one thing was going to lead into another.
Right.
But it's been a domino effect, really.
Yes, those things would be happening. I caught that.
I was not thinking that, but you clearly were.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
And so that deserves a rim shot.
All right.
Okay. This is from CNET.com. Asteroid sneaks past satellites. do you picture the old cartoons when the guy walks on his tiptoe and it's like, ding, ding, ding,
yeah,
ding,
they
ding.
Said the asteroid was actually tiptoeing.
Yes. Asteroid sneaks past satellites in one of the closest flybys on record.
Yeah, let's talk about this. Again, a previously unseen asteroid, because they monitor, they chase these, they watch them. So when this is previously unseen, they watch them. The size of a truck flew about.
How do you miss that?
Well, you think you'd see that. And again, you know, and also, you know, again, it doesn't take a huge one to get in. Now, most of them burn up. Depends on what they're made of. They're a lot bigger. The bigger ones would be the ones it takes to get in because they burn up partially. But this one was the size of a truck. It flew in at 4,350 miles, about that far above or over the Pacific Ocean on Monday, making it one of the closest passes by our planet on record. Astronomers have no notice of asteroid 2020 JJ's existence, had not noticed, rather, and it was discovered using the Mount Lemmon survey in Arizona right around the time it reached its closest point. So by the time it got here is when they saw it. Now, again, the article goes on to say that it probably would have completely burned up, you know, by the time it hit the Earth. It wouldn't have been a threat. But what scares them is this. There are some asteroids out there that aren't the size of trucks. I mean, they're the size of gigantic buildings and stuff. Now, if one of those guys come in, they have small planets. Well, we have craters. You have one in Flagstaff.
Yeah.
You've got craters in different areas around the world. And we have, you know, we know in recent history in Russia, one came in and struck a region of Russia. I think it was in Siberia, wiped out an entire region, miles of forest. And I mean, these things, if they come in, Greg, can do amazing damage. Now, why is this important for signs of the times? Because Revelation tells us that during the Great Tribulation, there'll be two mountains of fire flying into the earth from outer space and doing massive damage. One will strike the oceans and just wipe out a huge portion of all that's alive in the ocean. One will strike the land and wipe out the water supply on land. These are no doubt giant meteors and or asteroids. And so my point is, these are just like, this is practice.
That's a trial run, yeah.
This is trial run.
Yeah.
This is literally the shot over the bow.
Yeah.
You know,
there it is.
These are shots over the bow.
Yes.
Here's what's going to happen. Revelation tells us that God's going to send some that aren't going to fly over the bow. They're going to be big enough that as they dissolve through the atmosphere, they're going to keep large enough size to do major catastrophic planetary damage when they strike. Mm-hmm. Wiping out huge portions of life in the ocean and upon it with ships as well as on land. So this is coming to a planet near you, but not till after we're out of here. Again, that's when the Antichrist is ruling and those that are left behind are going to be here. Aren't you glad you're not going to be here?
Yeah.
But yeah, this is coming. So keep your eye on this kind of stuff. They're watching for it. Matter of fact, Greg, they're planning so much for these type of things. They're talking about nuclear detonations to try to stop
like
them before
shooting
they
a nuclear
it.
Missile
yeah,
up.
Yeah, they have it planned already that if one's coming up the earth, they want to try to shoot a nuclear weapon at it and hit it far enough out there where it just blows up and disintegrates and won't hurt the earth. Whether or not that could really work or not, it's worth a shot, so to speak. If it's going to wipe the planet out, why not give it a shot? But we know they're not going to be able to stop these two. They're going to come in called wormwood because they pollute and make the water bitter and destroy life.
Yeah, there's names. That's interesting. Good thing to point out. This is just nameless things.
Yeah, and it's going to be, again, a mountain of fire coming in. Think about when the prophet's watching that. How would you describe it if you didn't, you know, call it a meteor or asteroid at that time?
When
John saw it, he said, I saw these mountains of fire coming to the earth and destroying the planet. It's going to be asteroids and or meteors. And
mountains.
This is a precursor.
Wow. Wow.
A precursor.
And John would know some big mountains.
Yes, he would.
To use a reference point.
Yes, he would.
Anyway. All right, the church. ChristianHeadlines.com, May 4th, 90% of churches did not meet in April and few ready to resume.
Yeah.
And you can also give our church a plug and tell people what we're doing as
Absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, yeah. The survey of pastors showed that 90% of Protestant churches did not meet in person during April. Of course, that's when all this lockdown was, so that makes sense. A similar finding to a previous poll in which 93% of churches did not meet in person the final week of March. Most state and local governments did not begin restricting in-person meetings until the middle of March. And again, they give all these different statistics and all these numbers and nothing that you'd be surprised about. You know it would be there. But again, it's very interesting to me to watch this kind of shutdown of the churches. And I don't know how we're going to be starting things back up here in Knoxville. I know in L.A. County, Greg, they've now said they have to go all the way through August where they can't meet.
Southern California?
Yeah.
Wow.
But they've rebelled. There's over 3,000 churches now that have signed a petition sent to the governor saying we will be starting to meet in person starting June 1st.
Yeah.
And of course, June 1st is not a Sunday, but you get the point. Once we crossed that line, they said, "We at this point, we've been obedient. We've come under the government. And now we have to start meeting because of God's word. It commands us to. And you know, we talked about that, civil disobedience. You, again, we're to come under the governing authorities up to a point. And when they ask us to go against the word of God, and I think that, Greg, if it goes too long and they say, here's the problem. It's not even how long it goes. The problem in California, especially some other states like Maine, has been this. And Colorado, for example, in some places, you can go and buy your marijuana. And you can buy your alcohol.
You can go have an abortion.
And there's no limit on the numbers. Yeah, and have your abortion. But you can't go to church. Now, when there's obvious discrimination against the church, at some point, that's where the church has to say, okay, look, we've come under the authorities. We're obeying God's word, Romans 13. But now we have a higher authority that we have to obey. If this goes on too long, then we have to obey. And where do you say obey? Where does the Bible say that? The Bible says this. Do not forsake the assembling of believers of coming together. Don't forsake the assembling together as believers. And it goes on to say, as some do, especially as you see the day approaching. So here's God's command to us. He says, the closer you get to seeing Jesus Christ is coming back and returning, then you need to be meeting together in person, is what it means, all the more. So a temporary thing to say, look, you can't meet together because of this virus, I'm in 100% agreement. And I even voiced that to our senator in our region and others. I said, look, we're in complete compliance. I want to come under the governing authorities. We want to do what they ask. And we're doing that. We're doing the social distancing. We're using the mask. We had a drive-in church thing. And you said, Greg, what are we doing here now? Well, we're doing, again, with the guidelines of the government, we have our chairs spaced out with social distancing. We have everybody wear a mask. And we do the worshiping with a mask on, and then we're leaving with a mask on during the teaching time because we are social distanced, and it doesn't say you have to wear that when you're social distanced. During the teaching time, we are allowing our people to take the mask off as long as they stay in their social distanced area, and then they put their mask back on to sing and back on to leave because we want to make sure that we're in compliance. But now, if the government was to come out and say, all right, this is going to go on, two more years. You can't, another year, you can't do it. At some point, we have to say, look, God's word commands us to come together and meet. And so we don't want to be known as those that are, in any kind of rebellion or going against our leaders. I want to honor our leaders. I love our governor. I love our state senator. We pray for them, and I encourage all of our listeners, be praying for all of our leaders, our governor, our senators, our representatives. They need our prayers, and we're to be praying for them. We're to be loving them. We should be making their jobs easy. The church should not be making their jobs hard. We should be making their jobs easy and be a blessing to them because God, whether they realize it or not, God, the Bible says, has put them in that position. So we are honoring God when we honor them. But like anything else, it comes to a point where you say, well, okay, at this point now, we can't do this anymore. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went along with the government's mandate to bow down to the image until they had to do it. And they just kind of stayed out of the way. But then when Nebuchadnezzar got word of it and said, now you guys have to bow down, that's where they took a stand. And what they said was, very respectfully, they said, you know what? They didn't yell at Nebuchadnezzar. They didn't, call him whatever names this. They just said, you know what? If that's going to be what has to happen, then we can't do it. I think of Peter and John on the Temple Mount. They said, look, is it whether it's right to obey man or God, you decide. but we must obey the word of the Lord. So the point is that, yes, we are now on our regular services on Saturday night at 6, and then on Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11:15, and Sunday night at 6, and then Wednesday night at 7. You can check out our times on the webpage. We are meeting with social distancing and masks, and we just started. And we're doing this again in compliance with the state and all that. And so that's where we are. But the bottom line is, I'm hoping that more churches now find a way to be able to work through this. In some states, they're making it very difficult. And there's going to be a lot of very difficult decisions that are going to have to be made by church leaders. But I know they'll make the right decision.
All right, we got a couple of good news articles to finish off this program. Pastor Mark, the first one from ChristianHeadlines.com. Rookie NFL quarterback Tua Tagovailoa says he'll play for an audience of one.
I'm so glad you know how to say his last name. I don't know that I say it right.
I think I've just heard it enough.
Yeah, that's very good. But good for him. Strong believer. Miami Dolphins rookie quarterback Tua.
Tua. That's fine.
Tua unveiled his new number Tuesday. And it says in his connection, it has a connection to his Christian faith. I love it when guys are just open about this. The former University of Alabama quarterback will wear number one for the Dolphins, who finished 5-11 in 2019. Finished 5-11 in 2019 and drafted Tua, fifth overall in the first round of the last month. For an audience of one, he wrote on his social media account, alongside an emoji praying hands. He also posted a picture of himself in his new jersey with the eye black crosses emblazoned on each cheek. And again, for an audience of one. An audience of one is a popular phrase used by Christian athletes. That is, you're doing it for God. The intent of the phrase is to help Christian players remember that everyone in life, even in a stadium full of people or now not, will live and move and have our being in him. And it's pleasure, his pleasure, we should pursue all things. Again, way to go. God bless Tua. And we didn't like him, I guess, in a sports sense when he played against Tennessee. But he's standing for Jesus, and ultimately we stand with him. And God bless you, Tua. I know that God will bless you in this venture. I love seeing well-known people standing up vocally and openly for Jesus.
For what little time we have left, let's talk about Little Richard, because according to TheBlaze.com, he shares his Christian faith in an unearthed 2017 broadcast, quote unquote, "I just started thinking about Jesus."
Yeah, that's what he says. Led him to the Lord. He obviously did not know the Lord early in his career and the things that he did, but he said he made up his mind he'd rather have Jesus than anything else in the world. He died Saturday, age 87, spoke at an Illinois church, and agreed to an interview, Illinois church rather, agreed to an interview.
You're letting your redneck come out when you say Illinois.
I know. In Illinois church in 2017, and he unquestionably was in command of the audience as he spoke about his Christian faith. And I quote, "At the time, you would think about how you could become bigger and bigger and make more money." The singer, whose real last name is Pennyman, that'd be a good rapper name today,
yeah.
Man. Pennyman told the station heyday during his the station of his heyday during the infancy of rock and roll, but soon the adulation shifted. He said, "I didn't feel right anymore. That is, seeking those things he wanted. Now he was thinking about the Lord. I would sing and do things, but I wasn't a part of the in crowd anymore." Of course, you give your life to the Lord, you're not going to be a part of the in crowd. You're going to be set out. But I'll tell you this. The only in crowd we need to be a part of is the in crowd in the kingdom of God, because the world will turn away from us. The world will reject us. But God is the one that we're to stand with, Greg. He's the one that we're to honor. And I encourage all of our listeners right now, especially in the days in which we're living, don't worry about what the in crowd on the earth thinks about you. You be on the in crowd in heaven. And that is, what does Jesus think about you? Have you given your life to him? Have you recognized you're a sinner? Have you repented of your sins? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ and believe that he died for you on a cross? If you haven't done that, then I encourage you to do that today. Give your life to Jesus. Confess your sin, because he's coming for his church very soon. You do not want to be left behind. And, we'd love to welcome you here at Calvary Chapel. Saturday nights at 6, Sunday mornings 9:30 and 11, 11:15, and again Sunday night at 6, Wednesday nights at 7. We'd love to have you here in person to be with us. We also online, streaming, and a lot of other different ways. But again, I know God will lead you to a home church. We just want to make sure you know that you're invited. But my biggest heart is, make sure that you have taken care of business. And if God's touched your heart today, make that commitment to Jesus Christ before it's too late. We want you with us in the kingdom.
As Pastor Mark invited you, if you live locally in the Knoxville area, just go to calvaryknoxville.org for everything Pastor Mark talked about. You can get more information about our church, and more information about this program can be found at thesigns.org, including listening to the programs, subscribing to the podcast, reading the articles that we talk about, and asking Pastor Mark your prophecy question, which we always love getting, like we did from James on Facebook. Facebook. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll see you back here next Friday at 1:30.